But the Chimu state became dominant in the early 2nd millennium AD. It became the dominant force on the coast. And like their predecessors, the Chimu forged a multi-valley state that controlled 12 river valleys with at least 125,000 cultivable acres, all farmed by hand. Imagine the organization it took to see that this was done at the community level, at the household level, at the neighborhood level, at the regional level. Now, Chimur's rulers were ambitious conquerors. They conquered a neighboring valley, and then they would reorganize its irrigation schemes to the point where they would build large reservoirs and even canals that connected one valley to another. In other words, they were making the scale of the agriculture much larger, and to some degree might therefore reduce to some degree the vulnerability to El Niños. Chimu, which is the homeland of the Chimu, grew and grew. By AD 1470, the Chimu controlled over 620 miles of coastline, and they also controlled a staggering proportion, two-thirds, of all the irrigated land along the Peruvian coast. This was a wealthy and powerful kingdom. The focus of the Chimu state was the city of Chan Chan, at the mouth of the Moche River. It covered 8 square miles, a rather straggling capital. But in the center were 9 royal enclosures, laid out in a broken rectangle at the center of the city. These were the royal compounds. Each ruler of the Chimu built his own compound, a palace which eventually became his tomb and his shrine, the walls isolating them from the view of the commoners and others who lived outside, while also providing shelter from the coastal winds. Now, the way they built these, and the way they maintained all the agricultural systems, were probably the same, as probably used the same by the Moche and by even earlier people, was an institution known as mita, a compulsory work tax performed each year by every commoner to build adobe pyramids, to build roads, to maintain irrigation canals, to build royal enclosures. And lavish these royal enclosures were. They were richly decorated, the walls providing privacy. Each had its own water supply. And here the rulers lived in seclusion, and here they were buried. This notion of divine rulers living in seclusion is a very powerful one in pre-industrial civilizations. The pharaohs of Egypt lived in seclusion, and their appearances were carefully rationed. So did Maya lords. So did Chinese kings. It's a very common phenomenon. Why? Because you set the gods apart. And when they appear, it's very carefully choreographed. The biggest modern equivalent to this, or of course really isn't an analogy at all, although it's interesting, are things like Queen Elizabeth of England's opening of the Houses of Parliament or her coronation. These are moments of validation, or presidential inaugurations to some degree. These are moments of validation. In addition to these royal compounds, some 6,000 nobles at Chan Chan lived in smaller compounds, while more than 26,000 artisans and their families, many of them expert weavers and metal workers, lived in small houses on the western side of the city. And what's interesting about Chimu is that in many ways, it anticipated the Inca Empire's institutions.